the way. No good. He hooked it. And Georgia is going to survive. It's a couple of times tonight, and Noah Ruggles, knowing he's got to drive it from 50, just kind of overkicks it, loses his technique there, and misses badly left. And it talked about the potential dream of a kicker to win it. That's the other side of it.
Happy New Year!
This is Believe in Buckeyes. I'm Brian Browning with my co-host here, Chimney Checkwai. And we're here to talk about the post-game, playoff game, Ohio State versus Georgia. Didn't go our way. We ended up losing that game 42-41. Very tough loss. So how you feeling over there? Happy New Year. You got to say Happy New Year still. But I know things is a little sad right now.
Sad New Year for me. I had my flight booked to L.A. I was ready to go watch that national championship game in person. The craziest thing is the field goal to win the game, if you watch the clock, the countdown is happening. 7, 6, 5, the ball is kicked. 3, 2. And it's like, I don't know, you know how you have that celebratory, like, fireworks, you taking a sip and you know, all that stuff. All I heard in the background was, womp, womp, womp.
Yeah.
It was just a sad way to go into the new year, man. But shout out to the Buckeyes, man. Shout out to those players, man. They put it all out there. And, you know, you still got to show love to the guys who put so much into it. But, man, yeah, I'm not feeling too great about this one.
Yeah, man, absolutely. Tough loss. I mean, this reminds me of the 2019 Clemson game when it was Justin Fields versus Trevor Lawrence. It was a game that we played well the whole game. And if you're watching it, obviously you're a little biased. I'm a Buckeye fan, a little biased for your Buckeyes. But sometimes you could just tell that we're winning this game. We're the better team. We're executing. We got better players. Well, better players that are making plays today. We're clicking. And the other team just kind of found ways to kind of stay in it. They just kind of, you know, they hit a play here, they hit a play here, and they just stick around. And then at the end, literally almost figuratively, the ball just kind of bounces their way, and then we end up losing the game. Yeah. And that's exactly what happened here against Georgia. It's a game that, you know, going into it, obviously Vegas had the spread about 6.5. Funny enough, right before the kickoff, they changed the spread to 5 points, and shout out to Bet Online, who sponsors our show here, changed the spread to 5 points right before the game. I don't know, can't say why, but it was just kind of interesting to see. But Ohio State went out there and they performed well. They played good on a lot of levels, clicking a bunch. But unfortunately, when it came down to it, the Georgia Bulldogs was the victor last night, Razzle. So
yeah. Yeah, you mentioned it, a lot of small things. And it's one of those weird things. We talked about the 2019 playoff game. Very, very similar in that so many small opportunities that if this happens, game probably ends, right? I mean, there'll still be more game to play. There's possibility that Georgia could have still won. But it seems like every single one of these smaller things, if this happens, all right, that's it. It's over. They closed the door. But it's like the door just kept being left open. Yeah. And then 70-yard touchdown, boom, door is kicked open. And now it's really a real opportunity for them to win. And I mean, that goes to show, you know, even when you – and man, Ohio State outplayed them. They thoroughly outplayed Georgia for almost the entire game, but continue to leave the door open. And as you know in football – You give a team an opportunity to win it, there's a likelihood that they can go and finish it off. And I remember going into the game, my prediction was 41-38, Buckeyes win by a field goal. It almost ended up somewhere close in that number, but this just couldn't get the field goal. It couldn't get it done. Right. And I still want to give a shout out to Noah Ruggles, man. He's been consistent so long. Mm-hmm. He's a great kicker. Tough spot to be in. Long field goal to try to win it, and wasn't able to get it done.
Yeah, and obviously we'll get into that a little bit more here. But obviously, like you said, we was right there, right at the doorstep. So just, you know, coming out a way to get that victory and going on to the national championship. But then at that time, you know, we're playing TCU, and you know, obviously I feel we're the better team. We have a great opportunity to win that game. But we just got to give shout-outs. Like I said, we have a lot of guys that going into this game was taking a lot of heat when it comes to specifically C.J. Stroud, Coach Day taking a lot of heat.
C.J. for sure.
Off the Michigan game, obviously lost 2 years in a row there. And there's a lot of, you know, a lot of trepidation in the air if these guys are capable, if they wanted enough, is CJ tough enough, is he got that dog in him, that statement keep coming up. And I know CJ Stroud went out there and he put on the show. I mean, he went 23 of 34, 348 yards passing, 4 touchdowns. And everybody, even myself, was a little bit tough on him, like, hey, maybe you need to do a little bit more with your feet instead of trying to fit in these windows. He went out there and did it on his feet as well. I mean, making big runs, obviously the run that he made in the fourth quarter to get in position for that game-winning field goal to tip. So just got to give a shout-out to CJ for basically just leaving it out there, playing tough with his boys, and be honest, putting out a fantastic performance.
Fantastic performance. One that, to me, shows his ability. Look, you can say what you want about the other quarterbacks, the Heisman Trophy winner, Caleb, you know, and Bryce, the quarterback of Alabama, Will Levis, who's also going to be entering the draft. To me, CJ is the best college football player this season. Yes. And I say that, and I would say the guy who won the Heisman is really close right there with him as well. But just from a talent perspective and the ability to pass the ball, and this is why I struggle with a lot of the criticism, even following the Michigan game. It's one thing to criticize and say, okay, he needs to do more. That's cool. But to question an individual's heart and all those other things, to me, is unwarranted. And to not understand how good of a talent this guy, like what he did against Georgia, let's make no mistake about it. Georgia has been the best team in college football for the last year and a half. Georgia's defense has been a top 5, top 3, top 2, probably the best defense in college football for pretty much the last year and a half. He shredded them. CJ shredded their defense. It's one of those things where as a defender and as a cornerback, when you're a defender and you understand, okay, this is how we're trying to play coverage, and this is where we're going to have to give stuff up. Because you can't guard everything, right? Well, guess what? CJ can make all the throws on the field. So if you give something up, he's going to identify it, he's going to find it, and that's what he did against Georgia. And it was really one of the more impressive QB performances that I've seen in college football. And it's really hard to say enough about what he was able to do on that field. And it's unfortunate that it ended up in a loss.
Yeah,
like,
right.
It's unfortunate that it ended up in a loss. What's your take on?
I feel like he solidified that he is the best quarterback in going to in this year of college football. Whether he get into the draft or not, which you might probably do with where he's currently graded at. We'll talk about that a little later. But it's just like you said, he just went out there and a lot of criticism was like, well, you know, can he carry the team? Can he put the team on his back and get it done? Number two running backs are out this game. And he goes out there and puts on the performance. He does everything. He's making the passes. Obviously, Marvin Harrison Jr. was having a big game due to some of the passes that he was making. It was a criticism on if everything's not pretty, play breaks down, can he scramble and still get the ball downfield? Like, check that box. Like, you know, he did that multiple times Saturday night to get the job done. And I just feel like overall, like I said, once again, CJ has been a great talent. He has put up tremendous numbers. But it's just like, you know, and really just kind of because of the Michigan game, due to him losing to Michigan twice, the question marks start coming in on if he could do it and that. And I think he just went out and he just performed. He left it all on the field. It's always, you know, easy to say stuff before the game. They're like, listen, this is what I'm going to do when I get in this game. But he just let his – he kind of, you know, said a couple things. But he went out there and he backed it up. I mean, to the tip of the top. Like, you know, he just did it all. And just a huge kudos to him. Just the way he played the game, the things he was able to do, the plays he was able to make, ahead, being behind, once again, just kind of keeping things going and just turning and turning. And once again, just kind of, you know, coming up short. But he did all he could do to try to win that game. But I want to say this also, because the next person that was taking a lot of heat, once again, after two losses to Michigan, the guy really haven't lost much. He lost to Michigan twice. You know, it's Coach Day. Coach Day is saying Coach Day is basically, you know, in the Michigan game, he's being our coach. He don't have a good holding up on his team. They're not doing the little things well. And he said that coming into this game, he was going to be aggressive. He was going to be aggressive. He was throwing a lot of stuff out the window. And that's what you saw out of Coach Day, is a team that was hungry, locked in offensively for sure, and just aggressive, just kind of going after Georgia, no fear, doing what they do best, and kind of getting up and down the field, and obviously putting a lot of points on the board.
Yeah, and so to me, all the criticisms of CJ, to me, were mostly criticisms of Ryan Day. Because the way CJ plays, he gives you as a coach, especially a smart offensive mind, let's make no mistake about it, Ryan Day is a very, very intelligent offensive football mind, right? And when you match up a Ryan Day-level coach with a C.J. Stroud who can make all of the throws on the football field, now you have the coach. It's almost like playing Madden at this point. Like, you have the coach, the person who's playing Madden is Ryan Day, and he's able to pretty much give C.J. everything he needs to be successful. So to me, if CJ's not running the ball, that's a criticism of Day, right? Because Day has to say, okay, look, in this situation, we like you keeping your eyes downfield, but in this situation, I want you to go take 5 yards. And to me, we put a lot on CJ, but I would say Day has the ability, because of CJ's talent, to give him what he needs and make sure that he goes out. Because CJ has the poise and the ability to do everything on the field. And in this playoff game, this is where we saw Ryan Day at his best. Ryan Day said he was going to be aggressive going in. And you see what an aggressive Ryan Day offense looks like. We talked about it after the Michigan game. We said, was it Ryan Day out there? Or was it Jim Tressel out there, right? Because if you're Ryan Day, we want to be Ryan Day, right? Tressel won his way. Day is a different level of aggressiveness. And we want you to continue to be aggressive. And we criticize CJ for not having heart or not, you know, doing whatever. But to me, if you put him in a position to be successful and you maintain aggressiveness, he can execute on it. So I think, you know, Ryan Day's game plan was a perfect game plan. It was one that was, it was from an X's and O's standpoint, it was good. But just from a aggressive standpoint, it was good. And he's proven. Ryan Day has proven. Give him time to prepare. I don't care who the opponent is. And you can line the Browns up out there. You can put together an offensive game plan to really go out there and make this happen. I want to ask you, because this happened in a loss, right? So, you know, we say CJ answered a bunch of doubters. They answered a bunch of doubters, but they lost. And at the end of the day, we judge things off wins and losses. And Ryan Day has now lost to Michigan twice. He's lost multiple playoff games. Do you think this truly answers the doubters? Or does it just answer it here in the short term, and the next time there's a challenge ahead of him that he doesn't overcome, all this other stuff is brought back up?
Yeah, I feel like, until he wins the national championship, which I feel like is coming any given moment, the ball will kind of bounce their way. Obviously, we have definitely had capable players and capable teams to get to that game and win that game. It just haven't happened yet for him. But I just feel like if you're a daughter of Day, it's like what do you think else is out there? Like, you know, like, who do you think is going to come in and be able to, you know, make the teams this competitive and get to these chances? Because obviously, you didn't win the playoff game. And, you know, like you say, you know, you haven't beat national, you haven't won a national championship. You lost to Michigan as the head coach. But I just feel that, I don't know, it's just kind of tough to say. Like, I just feel that, to me, like I said, I was never leaning or thinking that maybe we should be moving in a different direction, because I just don't know who that guy would be that you think is going to come in and take a situation that's just already doing really good and just kind of make it better. But, you know, to me, it's like you have to win these games. I feel, you know, if we would have beat Georgia 15-10 and the offense looked bad, the defense looked okay, but we won the game, you know, it still matters a lot, you know, compared to, okay, we feel that this was almost, I hate to use the term, a moral victory, because, you know, this is wins and losses, but you see that the thing that Coach Day is most passionate about and most controlled about, he had it under control. You know, he clicked on all those things. You know, we didn't end up losing the game. So, you know, sometimes a coach could mismanage a game trying to do something or, you know, doing something. You know, that did not happen. That has not happened as Coach Day has been the head coach. So it's just kind of tough to say that, you know, with the doubter to say, like I say, I think obviously he's, you know, he's only been a head coach how many seasons now? Was it just third or fourth season as a head? He hasn't been a head coach long. Let's put it like that.
Long. 4 or 5 years now?
Right. Hasn't been a head coach very long. And he's been having a lot of success. When there is an issue, sometimes I feel like he's a little bit slow about figuring out the issue, getting it fixed. But he does get it fixed on the long run side of things. So I feel that, you know, on my end, I just want to see it, you know, obviously keep going. Keep, you know, coming up with an offense that can score a ton of points. Obviously, your defense has got, in my mind, they still improved. They improved a lot from last season. The last two games, not what we exactly was looking for. But I feel like things has been getting better. We lost to Michigan. He would figure out that game. I feel like he would figure out that game. And as he figured out that game, he would continue to get these opportunities to make it to the playoffs. And then once he gets there, he will continue to show that he could put up a great game plan. You give him a month, because those games are always going to be 3 or 4 weeks until he play. He's going to come up with a great game plan to go out there and execute and try to and get his team in a position to try to win that game. So, you know, like I was saying, I feel like it's the criticism's there. To me, he's doing the right things to kind of to right the ship, and I think he will continue to do that.
So one more thing about Day, and I talked to somebody recently about this. I don't think he'll get fired. There's situations. You keep losing to Michigan, other bad stuff can happen. Maybe there's some type of. I mean, there's ways, guys. Coaches get let go. Like, that stuff happens. That's the problem. However, I think the more likely scenario is that as programs get impatient with – they get bored with success. It's like, man, we're going to keep winning all these games and getting in the playoffs and losing, right? At some point, we need to actually win. That's like, people get bored with success, right? Are we going to keep are we going to lose to Michigan every 2 years? Like, it's, you know what I'm saying? So at some point, that's not going to be enough. And fans will start to come up with reasons why you should get fired. And I don't think he gets fired, but there is a scenario where he gets tired of, you know what I'm saying? Like he gets tired of bumping his head up against the wall of the playoffs. And he'll have opportunities. Like, we're not the only ones who watch that game. NFL coaches watch that game. Like, there's going to be – Ryan Day was in the NFL coaching at some point. He's going to have opportunities. I think at some point, if he keeps kind of not being able to get over the hump, he starts to feel like there's nothing left. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm getting a lot of pressure on this end. You know, people aren't appreciating me. I think there's a scenario where he just says, you know, I did what I can here. I'm going to move on and see what I can do at the next level. So that's a realistic scenario. As well.
Yeah, and that's a valid point. I mean, NFL front offices, we have seen that they would take a college guy that with an offensive mind that really wasn't that successful as a college coach, and they would give them that NFL guy with the Cardinals coach. I'm blanket on names, but the guy that the Panthers had that is finally let go this season. Not a ton of success on the college level, but they got the opportunity, like you say, to step into that role in the NFL. And obviously, you know, when you think about college football and being, you know, known as being the best coach, that's great. That's fantastic. But if you really are, you have your, you know, you really want to climb that ladder and be known as one of the greatest coaches of all times, you know, when it kind of makes more sense if you did it as a professional, right? You won Super Bowls as an NFL coach, things of that nature. So, you know, so some of that can definitely, you know, like you say, kind of sneak in. That was a good, very, very valid point that you brought in. But bringing it back to the Georgia game, you know, obviously, like I said, we wanted to give basically kudos to some guys that had some criticism going into this game, basically due to the loss of their last game. But we wanted to give them a shot at, you know, basically they did better. They performed the way we would like them to perform. I think fans, we're all sad that we lost, but no one is really, you know, too critical of their performances when it comes to C.J. Stroud and Coach Day having his team to go out there and win. But like you say, like in the intro here, we really lost this game just really due to small things, right? We was down at halftime. Third quarter, we come out, we kind of get a lead into the fourth quarter, and then we just kind of essentially let it slip away just due to like small things that at the time it's like it's something to argue about. But, you know, if we was able to, the things kind of go our way in these little situations, most likely the game could end. But all those situations went to Georgia. So I know you want to kind of harp in and kind of bring that up and kind of speak on those a little bit, those situations, what took place and how essentially affected the game in the long run.
Yeah, I think some of the big ones that stand out that I think a lot of us are probably still tweeting about today and thinking about is the targeting, no targeting, right? I think at this point, we don't know. College football analysts, college football fans, college football referees. Nobody knows what targeting is. Nobody knows. A referee can explain it, but his interpretation of targeting is going to be different than another referee's interpretation of targeting. I promise you, I've seen way too many targeting penalties, and they are not called the same. And they haven't even been relatively close. And everybody's confused, and in that situation, Marv gets hit, even if it's not targeting. Let's say it's not targeting, which I'm fine with it not being targeting. In the NFL, that would be a penalty. It'd be unnecessary roughness. It would be something, right? Like, it'd be something. They called, if it's not, they wasn't targeting, I'm fine with it not kicking the kid out of the game. Let him finish the game. But that's a penalty, right? But what hurt in that situation is not only was it not a penalty, which would have set them up for a score, it also knocked one of the best players in college football out of the game and allow Georgia's defense, who had no answers for Ohio State's offense, to really, really be able to exhale and go, okay, he's out of the game now. Let's go attack the other guy who's killing us, right? Let's go attack C.J. Stroud and let's rely on the ability to potentially be able to play a little tighter coverage on the other receivers, who are also pretty good, but Marvin Harrison is just a different level. Which, and keep in mind, you're out Marv, you're out Jackson Smith and Jigba already, you're out Trevion Henderson. You started to lose so many talented guys. You had so many talented guys. You started to lose so many of them that it's a challenge. But you had that. You had a 2-4th down, and this is kudos to Ryan Day and his aggressive play call. You had a 4th down they went for. It's a penalty on the offense. It was an unfortunate penalty. It was the right call. But it was barely, it was so small of an infraction. It didn't have no impact on the play, but they got it, and it got called back. But the big fourth down was
I just want to throw out there really quick that sometimes, even for, like you say, it's the right call, right? But sometimes when it's that small and it don't affect the play, you know, we've been out there in the field. A lot of times the referee will just give you a warning. Hey, come talk to the player and say, hey, listen. On your motion, you're doing a little bit this. I don't want to see you do that anymore. You see that as off of the lineman, as off the tackle, you're trying to get some distance off the ball. Sometimes your helmet's supposed to be through the center's waist. And so the first time that you're too far back, a lot of times the referee won't throw a flag. Maybe a couple times. Hey, listen, I'm seeing that you're lining up too far back. move up a little closer to the ball, if not, I'm going to have to call this, for it to be the first time it happened, you throw a flag on it right away. And like you say, I mean, it's a really tough, it's a really minor thing when it comes down to a lot of times. You see, like, hey, look, that's an infraction, and I'm just going to talk to the guy so we can get it corrected. And sorry to cut you off, but that they threw that flag right away, and I think Coach Day was like, he was really animated and upset about it, you know, type of deal. Because in his opinion, he probably was thinking the same, like, hey, look, he might have did this wrong barely, but damn, like, you know, usually we could have a conversation about this before you just throw a flag on it right away in this critical point in the game. So,
It was a tough call, and then you had the fake punt. This was the one. The fake punt, they snapped the ball. This is the same player, I believe. It was still Rossi. They snapped the ball to him. They got the first down. Kirby Smart sees the formation, sees the line, and recognizes that they are not in position to stop a fake. Calls timeout. And he got alert before the play, but did he get the timeout in time? We don't know. The only person that knows is that referee that was there. And the thing about a referee, if he acknowledges that the coach got the timeout, even if he doesn't blow the whistle in time, is I know he got it before the play. So it comes down to the ref. Who knows? Just like the targeting call. However, you know what I'm saying? It comes down to the ref. If they say that's what it was, then that's what it was. But, man, that was a tough play. Then you had a fourth down, a fourth and one or whatever. Georgia went for it, threw the ball to the tight end. They called him short. They went back and reviewed. They say he got over it. I think he did, but man, it was close. And if he doesn't get that, the game is over, right? The game is over. So there's so many of these small plays that you can point to. You know, a lot of times we say it comes down to a few plays. This is one of those where so many plays down the stretch. If any of them happens differently, you know, it changes the game. And then you keep that. You know, you have that door cracked a little bit with these small plays. And then, boom, 70-yard touchdown pass that the DB falls on. And, listen, he fell.
He fell.
But I mean, let's keep going.
The play's been everywhere. The play's been everywhere. And, like, and it feel like I'm not a DB. I'm gonna throw that out there. My co-host here, Chitty Chase, the All American defensive back. But watching the replay, it looked like my man got beat. I mean, to be honest, the guy take off like a rocket. The DB looks like he's trying to flip his hips, but he just never had to do it so fast. Like, you know, this guy had a free release. He never can flip that fast. And then his body said, "What are you doing?" And shut down. And you make sure you know he's in the turf and it's a touchdown. But
he got beat. It happened to me before. In practice, it happened to me before. He got beat. Unfortunately, it wasn't the best matchup. People question whether or not it was the best call to go man free in that situation. Listen, in hindsight, no, you don't want to go man free because they gave up a touchdown in man free. But before the play, it seemed like an okay call. Like the idea that we can't play man ever because we're going to give up 70 yards is the craziest thing. Like, this is college football. Like, it's college football. You're going to have to play man. You're going to have to stop a run play. And nobody's complaining when they went man and stopped the run. But everybody complained when they went man. Like, you can't call man. Well, did you watch the plays when they stopped the run and say, oh, no, you can't call man versus open? You can't. That doesn't make sense. Now, what I would say is that, one, it's a bad matchup. You don't want Ransom on the fastest guy, one of the fastest guys in the country. Not in football. Just one of the fastest guys, period. If we blind up a bunch of people in the U.S. and told them, run straight, he's one of the fastest guys in the U.S. You don't want him probably against that guy based on what it looked like, right? We all saw what it looked like. But then also, if you get that matchup, safety. You have a free safety. I understand we need to have the integrity of being a free safety and being in the middle of the field. But if you have your other safety lined up against one of the fastest guys in the U.S., lean to that guy. Because I don't care if he fell or not. Even if he didn't fall, he was beat. He would have been beat by about 5 yards. Go over there and help him out. You know, you can see the quarterback's looking, staring him down. That quarterback didn't look off. Stetson Bennett is not C.J. Stroud. He dropped back and he looked deep and he went to throw. That safety, McAllister, or whoever that was back there, should have got over there. But yeah, all these things added up in a game where Ohio State was in position to do it, to win it. All of these small things added up, and that's what led to them pretty much giving up the loss.
Yeah, and another huge thing, I just had to speak to this because it's kind of it's a kudos to Coach Day, but this is kind of tough to overcome. You have essentially your number one and your number two running back out of the game. Essentially, you know, I know Mayan Williams played a few snaps, but Henderson had a surgery. Even when Mayan was out there, he was, you know, it was obvious that he was injured. You know, going into it, you know, he was missing some practice. It was kind of saying he had a stomach bug type of deal, but obviously he had a limp, you know, more or less. So it was something he had been battling, or something that he nicked up during practice that he obviously could not overcome and be his best self. But but when you look at the rushing of the game, Georgia had – Ohio State was still able to generate with their third-string running back, C.J. Stroud. I think they had Xavier Johnson, some run plays to him, then had a couple run plays to Ibuka as well. Still was close in running. I think they had – Ohio State had about 120 yards rushing, 119. Georgia ended with about 138, which essentially is pretty even in a game like this. But what I want to say is just kudos to Coach Day for being aggressive, still figuring out how to come up with some rushing yards. And then also when you're missing your two starting running backs, big shout out to our offensive line. Going into this game, you know, it's a lot of talk about their defensive front, their interior defensive lineman, got number one draft pick guy, and this is and when it comes down to it, I feel like up front, off the line, really handled their business. They didn't lose too many one-on-one battles. Obviously, Georgia was able to generate some pressure. A lot of most of those pressures was off of blitzes, and you know, when it comes to a blitz, sometimes you caught the right play to pick it up. A lot of times sometimes you get overloaded just so pressure could occur. But one-on-one, you've seen our offensive line kind of go in there and make those plays and make those blocks. But a huge thing is when you don't have the running backs in there, that's usually there, protection. You're talking about your third-string running back, a true freshman stepping in there and have to fit in for protection. When you have a guy that's been there 2-3 years and knowing the plays and knowing the calls and been gelling with the offensive line on seeing linebackers and where they're coming from and safeties or whoever else is blitzing, how that stuff comes in, I just feel like they did a tremendous job at still staying aggressive, playing with guys that's not there and doing the best they can at winning their blocks 1-on-1 and still picking up protections when they could to keep that offense going. So a huge shout out to the offensive line and the scheme of Day to kind of make that happen and keep CJ, you know, essentially as clean as possible. Obviously scoring 41 points, you know, they had a lot of success on offense, so kudos to them. But we do have to say that when it really comes down to it, the defense gave up 42 points. Last game against Michigan, they gave a lot of points as well. When it really comes down to it, we have to speak about how the defense really kind of, be honest, be frank, they kind of let us down. In 41 points, you would think that's enough to win the game. Obviously, we didn't win it. We had to speak to the defense a little bit and coaching and their plan coming into the game.
Yeah, and when you start, I mean, because typically in losses, in wins, we celebrate almost everybody. You may pick out what needs to be improved. In losses, we place blame, typically. Right? That's what we do. And if you're looking to place blame, you know, the defense is probably in the front of the line when it comes to that, right? I think in the first half, the offense, Georgia could almost do whatever they wanted to. Missed a lot of tackles. And the thing is, it's hard. You see all the bowl games, all of these playoff games, teams are putting up numbers. You know, Michigan, great defense, gave up a lot of points. Now, 14 of those points, it was the quarterback throwing it to the other team. But they still gave up a lot of points, right? TCU, defense, gave up a lot of points. It's hard to stop offenses when they have 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 3 weeks to prepare for these defenses. That's a lot of time to come up with a lot of stuff with guys who are great at offense, right? However, I think, you know, the third quarter, defense played solid. It looked like the game was turning. It looked like, because they had stepped up in that third quarter, we kind of had it in the bag at that point because now we figured out how to stop them, right? We figured out how to slow down the offense. But still, it came down to explosive plays. 70-yard touchdown is just too much. In that position, if you make them drive down the field and you make them score, you probably win this game, right? They, as long as they don't score fast, you get those explosive plays. That's the biggest thing, and that's what they harped on. That's what they focused on. And it still happened in this game. And my challenge with our defense, and we just can't let them off the hook, man. It's like, this is Ohio State. I understand Georgia's defense struggled. Georgia, the great Georgia defense, couldn't stop anything. They couldn't stop anything. I mean, their best defense was knocking Marvin Harrison out of the game. That's the best thing they did all game because that was the only thing that could give them some relief. But we can't let our defense off the hook, man. They have to be better. They have to be better. They have to be better. Just even from just an explosive play standpoint and be able to contain an offense, they have to be better in the red zone to be able to stop a team from just scoring touchdowns, forcing more field goals. They have to be better. I thought they did a little bit of that. But they just have to be better. And it's unfortunate because if they play better, obviously Ohio State wins. And it just didn't happen.
Yeah, and I think when it really comes down to it, I know we spoke about it here before we kind of kicked off the show. But what he boils down to, defense doesn't play well, offense plays pretty good, we lose the game. But we really lit down C.J. Stroud when it comes down to it, right? Like when we kind of look up overall at his career, obviously, as we know, you know, he's been a starter now. You know, this is his third year in college. He's been a starter for two. First year playing behind Justin Fields. He loses to Michigan. Doesn't have a chance to play in the Big Ten championship game. So they're not Big Ten champions. Year two, he's a starter. He loses to Michigan. Don't have a chance to play in the Big Ten championship game. You're not the Big Ten champion. You still get into the playoffs. Go out and play fantastic. You play terrific, but then you lose that game. And obviously, with how things are shaking up, you know, how you look on the big board, what his draft grade is, as we say, how he's so gifted at throwing the ball, can make every throw, which is obviously, it's easy to say, but it's obviously tough to do. If you can make every throw, you're usually the, you know, a first round type of quarterback grade. Most guys cannot do it. Even guys that are in NFL locker rooms cannot do it. And CJ Stroud has that ability. He's a leader. And he checks a lot of boxes, you know, to maybe continue his career right now going into the NFL. When it comes down to it, his legacy at Ohio State is that he never really, none of the thing, he broke a lot of records, did a lot of things, but now due to this loss, it's a chance that he goes on to the NFL. None of the things that he did gets a banner. You know, there's not, you know, when you're looking at the Big Ten champion, he doesn't have one of his years up there. National champion, none of his years are up there. And it just feels like, you know, when it comes to a quarterback like CJ Stroud, they're not everyday quarterbacks. A guy that can come in and be able to do those kind of things. And it just feels like overall, like I say, I just feel that we might have let him down in his career now with that loss to Georgia.
Yeah, I agree. And last night, because I watched it at home with my wife, and unfortunately, when I'm just at home with my wife and we lose, she hears all my complaints. So, you know what I'm saying? So. And that's pretty much sum it up. What I pretty much told her is, I think from a legacy standpoint, right? From a legacy standpoint, Ohio State has failed CJ Stroud in three ways, in three areas, or three. There's three like groups of people or individuals in my mind that have failed CJ Stroud when it comes to legacy. And I'll start off with the defense. We have not put a defense on the field, and I love Jim Knowles, and I like his defensive mind. I like his scheme. I like, you know, his approach. I like his interviews. I like Kerry Coombs. I like everything that people say about him. I think these are good coaches, right? However, last year, this year, we have not put out a good enough defense to give CJ Stroud an opportunity. And you think about winning the Heisman. Stetson Bennett was one of the finalists for the Heisman. We watched Stetson Bennett play. I know they won that game, but Stetson Bennett, in comparison to Stroud, it wasn't even close.
Yeah.
It wasn't even close. But he was one of those Heisman finalists. And the reason he was one of those Heisman finalists was because of Georgia's defense. Georgia's defense put him in position to be a finalist for the Heisman. Our defense did not put CJ in position. If they had to put him in a position, if they supported him in the way that we could have, he would have been a Heisman winner either last year or this year. Last year, he may have lost, but he would have been a lot closer if he beat Michigan. And a big part of that was the defense. Also not being able to block that front, but a big part of the defense this year, everything was set up for him to be that guy. And I don't think our defense, who played pretty solid all year, but in these big games, they just did not do enough. And there's a lot of bad defense played in college football, but at Ohio State, we just can't accept that level. The second area where I think we fail CJ is from a fan/media standpoint. I say fans, but I'm not talking about all fans, because we can't expect fans to understand the game of football to the level that a lot of us understand it. So those the loudest fans or the loudest media personalities or the big, you know, questioning for so many people question, not just, you know, it's one thing to criticize a player, right? He's in a position, he expects criticism when he doesn't come out with a win, especially against Michigan. But I heard so many people question his heart. You know, is he a dog? You know, can he? Well, like, come on, bro. Like, if you're gonna say, does CJ Stroud does not have dog mentality, then you need to explain to me what a dog is. Because if you can't explain exactly to me what a dog is, then I don't even want to hear the content that you're giving me. And I think that creates a narrative that fans took hold of and said, CJ Stroud is one of the – he's not a capable quarterback. CJ Stroud, I wish we had some of the quarterbacks of the past. And I'm like, we are not understanding the level of talent. This talent, see, we've been spoiled with – we went from, you know, you go from Braxton to JT to Cardale when it finishing the national championship, straight to Dwayne Haskins to Justin Fields to CJ, and you think, oh, these guys just grow on Buckeye trees. All right, one of these transitions is not going to be so smooth, and you're going to be like, dang, I wish we had CJ Stroud. Yeah. All right, why can't this guy throw the ball like CJ can? They don't exist everywhere. I think we let them down. Not all fans, but some of those at the top pushing these narratives about CJ Stroud doesn't have the level of heart. He doesn't. And some of it is the national media. So I don't expect them to know anything, right? Because they weren't able to see what type of player he was, and also not able to understand that a lot of the times that he came up short is really a coaching putting him in a position to be able to do what he does best. So I think that's the second way we let him down. I think the last way, and this is the one that I want to preface by saying, I love Ryan Day and I love his offensive mind. I understand the challenge this year with a bunch of guys hurt, guys in and out of the lineup, having to manage NIL. There's so many things at this point that a college coach like Day, who runs it, who pretty much calls the players and runs the offense, has to deal with. So it's hard. However, in the Michigan game, I thought he lacked the aggressiveness that this is his aggressiveness. This is what he's proven to us, right? So I'm only holding him to the standard that he's already set for himself, right? I think he lacked the aggressiveness to really put CJ Stroud in a position to go win that game. I think he could have done better. And then in this game, this playoff game, I thought he showed that aggressiveness. And then on the final drive, CJ takes off for like 27 yards. Puts them in field goal range, but all I was thinking to myself is I hope they're not content with a 50-yard field goal. Like, I hope they want to go get 10. They needed 10 more yards to really secure this win. And I think we got a little bit conservative. Obviously, Marv's out. This is hard. I understand it's hard. You got your best receiver out. You don't want to make a mistake. If you do something aggressive and it ends up being a turnover, everybody's going to say, why didn't they just run the ball? Obviously, hindsight's 20/20. But I think they needed to stay in that aggressive mindset just a little bit more to finish it off. And I think those are the three ways that we failed CJ when it came comes to his legacy. However, he got a lot of money and NIL era. So he's probably going to be okay. But yeah.
But that brings me to the last thing I think we want to discuss. I obviously, like you said, I think we both agree that there could be more on the table for CJ on the college level. Like, obviously, we know where he's ranked at in the NFL when it comes to NFL quarterbacks. I think everyone has him in the top three of quarterbacks coming out in this draft. When you start looking at the next year draft, for him, the way he plays, obviously, bearing energy, I don't think that will change much. You know, it's not like there's an underclass from the quarterback somewhere that's just going to be blowing CJ out the water, as you see some guys. Sometimes you got to leave because the class behind you is really good. I don't think that would be the case for him. And like you just said, due to NIL, CJ has, made a pretty good amount of money. Right before the ball drop in New York City, I'm seeing pictures of CJ Stroud in Times Square in an express suit. Money is coming in. I read an article that due to NIL money, he's able to buy his mom a house in California.
That's a big level of money for a house,
right? So. Due to those things, and then due to the, once again, he hasn't had that one thing. Like, yeah, I was here. I picked that Big Ten champion up. I picked that Heisman up. I picked this national, won a national, this year. Do you think that there might be an opportunity? Obviously, we think he'll go, but there is still, due to that opportunity of some money, things that he was able to do in college, there may be a chance that he may want to come back and play one more year on the Ohio State Buckeye team, play a senior year. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's not super far-fetched from the standpoint that NIL now, like you said, you're not as hungry.
You're not as hungry, right.
I just beat myself up for 4 years. I need to go make some money to do this. But, he's already generating income. His family's okay. He's able to support his family and everything. And I think as NIL develops more, and there's a better way to get consistent money and more dollars, because right now there's a bunch of TV revenue being made from college football, but it's not getting to the players. In the NFL, there's a bunch of TV revenue that comes in and is shared with the players. So there's still the amount of money is just so staggering of a difference. However, if CJ felt like, dang, I really want to finish this thing. From a legacy standpoint, maybe get a win against Michigan, get a Big Ten championship, and really be able to compete for a national championship. He could say, "Look, I'm gonna get a lot of money next year. Still, I could continue to develop my game, fix a few things before I hit the NFL, so I can kind of hit the ground running." Because a big thing about the NFL, once you go to the NFL, you're on the clock. You gotta improve. And right now, you put the clock on pause. And just continue to build and get prepared. I think there's it's not a far-fetched thing, but I just think CJ the money's just too staggering at this point. And he's played a lot of football. It's one thing if he hadn't played that much in college, but he's played a lot now in these 2 years. It's kind of like, man, do I really want to go through this another year? Do I really want to take another chance at actually losing to Michigan? And then imagine what these fans are going to say about me then, right? And then what does that actually do? How do you could at that point you could risk, because at this point any more film that he puts out there after this game he played is not going to boost him. At this point, any other thing he does is just another opportunity for scouts to say, okay, he's not really good at this.
Criticize.
Take it from a guy who played 5 years in college. More and more film is just at this point, because he's already rated so high. More and more film is just a way to take away from his draft position. So, I mean, I don't think it happens, but it's not that far-fetched of a thing, considering this new era.
Right. Well, that's Believe in Buckeyes with Brian Browning and Chinny Chekhov. Once again, this episode was brought to you by Bet Online. Betting is coming to Ohio. So, if you want to bet, if you have a chance, you want to get out there, you want to gamble a little bit, risk it, Bet Online is the place to do it. Obviously, a ton of things to bet on, ton of sports. If it's for you, check out Bet Online, and it definitely bring a lot to the table. But that's our show for today. As always, go Bucks, and we'll catch you next time.
Go Bucks. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.